this is a prank. It was a good one, because Jennifer is giving me the, oh, 1 second. Oh, man. Kingdom Kids, looks like you're heading out. Have a good morning. Well, good morning. A little better morning than last week. Last week we began a series called Get Duped by the Weather Forecasters and the Radar into Believing that an Ice Storm is going to Hit. That doesn't ever come. Thankfully, it looks like that was just a one-week series, though. So we'll hope we don't run into that one anymore. Especially since the name of it was such a mouthful. But 2 weeks ago, we did begin a new series. A little mini-series of sorts. It's really entertaining if you're standing here and looking out, then you can see Ken and Jennifer deciding whether or not they're going to bring this podium up. Come on up. I'm a little worried because this Bible is pretty heavy, and eventually this music stand's just going to give out. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Oh, man. 2 weeks ago, we did begin a new series. Calling it a mini-series because it was just going to go to the end of January, but now we got to push it into the first week of February, so be it. But a little mini 4-week series on missions. 4-week series on missions that we're simply calling A Heart for Missions. So 2 weeks ago we talked about trying first to define missions. What do we mean when we talk about missions or missions work? And so as we should always do when we're beginning a series in Scripture, we decided, hey, let's go look in the Bible and look at all the uses of missions and missionary that appear in Scripture. And to our shock, we found a whole 0 of them combined. And so we said, well, if it doesn't appear in Scripture, then why is it that this term is so commonly used? Why is it that we have a missions ministry? Why do we always talk about sending missionaries? Why do we support a bunch of missionaries if the word missionary isn't used? So we still wanted to know sort of what's the root, where did it come from? And so we did just that. We looked at the Latin root, missio, or mittere in the verb form, that simply means to send. That the verb missions comes from, or the noun missions in English comes from the verb in Latin that simply means to send. And so at its heart, missions sort of harkens back to this idea of being sent, a work that is done by people who are sent to a group of people to do something. And then we said, okay, let's look at another form of this Latin phrase now, as this term missio is then paired with the word Dei, missio Dei being the sort of mission of God. And as we looked at this, we said, clearly the mission of God was the Father sending the Son to this earth to do what? To reveal God to us. To reveal himself to the whole human race. And that then the Son and the Father sent the Spirit to do the same thing, to reveal truth, to reveal God to us. And so when we talk about missions, we're talking about being sent to a group of people with the purpose of sort of revealing God to them. And there's more to it, and there's plenty more we could say as we define mission. We could talk about different types of missions work, etc., But if you want that, then you go to the mission Sunday school class right now, because you're not going to get it here. Instead, this morning now, what we're going to talk about is, if that's what missions is, sort of the sending of God, really, sending God's sending of us to people to reveal his truth and his works and the things that he's done for us, if that's what missions is, then we understand why we should have a heart for missions. We should have a heart for missions because it's what God has called us to, and we should have a heart for missions because God's the one who started it in the first place. He's the one who did the first sending and the revealing. He's the one who began this whole work of missions, and so God has a heart for missions, and we should too. So if it's clear God has a heart for missions, and then we should have a heart for missions, then we start to ask this question, right? We ask the question, well, if we're going to have a heart for missions, what does that even mean? What does it mean and what does it look like? What does it practically look like in our lives for us to have a heart for missions? How can you look at someone and tell if they have a heart for missions? And so we'll begin answering that question this morning. And the next 2 weeks, we'll continue and put the other two pieces of the puzzle together. But we'll start to answer that question this morning. What does it look like to have a heart for missions? How exactly are we to participate in missions? What does a heart for missions lead us to do? And the first answer then this morning will come from the Apostle Paul. Paul, certainly the greatest human missionary that we can probably ever think of, and certainly the greatest human missionary in the Bible. Right? You can't just call him the greatest missionary because we just made the case for Jesus being a missionary. You can't say that Paul's greater than Jesus in any way. So we'll call him the greatest human missionary in Scripture. And frankly, most of the lessons that we learn about missions in the Bible, we learn from Paul. Either from his example and the things that he did and said, or from the things that he sort of tells the churches and the letters that he writes, what the things that he tells them about missions, about his work. So Paul's known for making his many missionary journeys all across the known world at the time, revealing God's truth to people everywhere, and that as he goes places, he either starts new churches or he visits existing churches and encourages them. And then Paul the missionary, after he's visited these churches, he basically writes letters to them, and that's, 50% of the New Testament. It's just Paul's letters from a missionary back to churches that he either founded or that he supports or that are supporting him in some way or another. So Paul, this great missionary, writing to the churches of believers that he's visited. And so this is where we can start to draw our parallels. Now, Paul writing to churches around the world, Paul as a missionary, what does he have to say to them about missions work and about what it means to have a heart for missions? And so Paul is going to tell believers everywhere, and he's going to mention this in almost every single one of his letters, that if they have a heart for his work, that if they have a heart for missions, that it will lead them straight to one specific action. That every single church that he writes to, it seems, he's going to tell them all to do this same thing, to be a part of his missions work. One big action. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Paul says, you have a heart for missions, right? If you want to have a heart for missions, if you want to know what it looks like to have a heart for missions, this is going to be our first piece. Romans 15, verse 30. Paul here is speaking to, of course, the church in Rome, and he's nearing the end of his book. Of the majority of the passages that we're going to look at today, they're either in the last chapter or second to last chapter, or they're the very first chapter. Because this is often when Paul is not necessarily doing his teaching portion, he's just speaking to the specific people, giving them usually a command about himself. And it's almost always the same. Romans 15, verse 30, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me. To strive together with me. Right? Paul, the great missionary, greatest missionary, I'd say, of all times, now writing to the church in Rome, and he says, I want you to strive together with me. What does that mean? I want you to participate in my very work as a missionary. Strive together with me. And then you ask, okay, Paul, I want to strive together with you. How can I be a part of your work, Paul? Strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. How do we participate in Paul's missions work, right? How do we participate in anyone's missions work? That you strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Turn a couple books to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11, right here at the beginning of this book. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "You also must help us." Here we go again, right? Same type of language. "Strive together with me. You also must help us." How can we help you, Paul? How can we help you in your worldwide evangelism and church planting and your worldwide missions work? How can we help you? "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." But Paul says, you want to have a heart for missions. You want to know what having a heart for missions looks like. Right? A heart for missions leads you to pray. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul, the missionary of missionaries, the one who had a vision from Jesus himself and then goes to the disciples and gets sort of discipled and taught surely by Peter and the people who were there with Christ. Now he's going around and spreading the gospel and planting churches and encouraging believers all over the world. He's the missionary of missionaries. If any missionary, you'd say, you know what? He doesn't really need my help. He's got this, right? He doesn't need my prayers. He's dialed in. It would be Paul. And yet Paul, over and over and over again in his book, says, "You want to be a part of my work as a missionary? Pray. You want to be a part of my work as a missionary? Pray, because a heart for missions leads you to prayer." You want to have a heart for missions because it's God's work, He started it, then you have to pray. A heart for missions leads you to prayer. Right? Just consider these first two passages from Paul. Right? "Strive together with me." Right? "Help us by doing what? By praying." Because missionaries, more than anybody, know this truth, that the work they do, even if it is physically oriented, right, even if it's making microloans like a year later, right, to help people get out of poverty, even if it's helping orphans who otherwise would starve and you're helping them with physical needs, missionaries more than anybody know that the work they do is a spiritual work. And that the oppositions that they face is spiritual opposition. And so they say, look, you want to be a participant? You want to help out? Pray. Strive together with us in prayer. Help us in your prayers to God on our behalf. Because having a heart for missions leads you to prayer. Now, there's a couple difficulties that I think we have because we know we should pray in general in life. Right? Pray without ceasing. I'm guessing the majority of us would say we struggle with this idea of just being consistently, constantly, always in prayer. And praying for missionaries is one of those things that I think we can all agree that we ought to be doing, but I know that one of the struggles or barriers for praying for missionaries for me is this. How can you be praying for missionaries? In what way can you pray for missionaries and their missions work? What should our prayers for missionaries be like? Because sometimes it's hard to know what to pray for our missionaries, and for some good reasons. You know, some of our missionaries can't tell us hardly anything about the work that they're doing. And so you don't even really know exactly what issues they're dealing with to have to pray for. For others, it's just our missions work is constantly changing. We've got missionaries who are going to different locations. Right? Think about Nate McGurk. Right, a couple years ago, we were praying for him in Bonaire, and then it was Haiti and Dominican Republic. If you saw actually the newsletter that got emailed out this morning at about 8:45, then you saw right that there was an update about his missions work and how he just spent a couple weeks in Dominican Republic and Haiti, and now he's looking to move to Vienna. And just on a practical level, right, missionaries like that, you want to pray for him. You don't even know where he's at right now to pray for him. They say, there are just some practical things. We say, well, Lord, I pray for Nate McGurk and wherever he's at and whatever he's doing. And sometimes that's a hard prayer to follow up on and continually be in prayer for. So on a real practical level, you just say, well, what can we always be praying for missionaries for? And this is where I want us to head this morning. What I want us to think about is, what did Paul say that you could sort of always be praying for? What are those things that, regardless of who the missionary is and what they're doing, what specific work or task that they're following through with, what are those things, five specific things that we're going to look at, five specific things that we should be praying for every one of our missionaries? We're going to look at three passages, three more Pauline passages, things where Paul tells us and pray for this for us and say, yeah, I think this is something that we can pray for every one of our missionaries all the time. So turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Again, we're at the very end of the book of Colossians. The final chapter of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, Paul is once again wrapping up his book, and he comes back around to this idea of prayer. So let's look at what he calls for prayer for, and how we can learn from it about praying for our missionaries. Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Right? A general command just to pray. Continually pray. Be steadfast in prayer. Pray all the time and be thankful in your prayers. Then he says, at the same time, pray also for us. Pray also for us. Once again, and Paul saying, pray for us as missionaries. But pray also for us specifically here, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Right here, Paul is asking again, pray for me. Pray for me in my missions work. And then he gives them two specific areas where they can pray for, right? Area number one is simply pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word. The number one thing that you can pray for missionaries all the time, everywhere, is simply pray for opportunities to share the word of God. Pray for opportunities, open doors and opportunities. Right? As missionaries, sometimes the opportunities that they're needing is, hey, pray for opportunities to share in closed-off countries. Right? Pray for opportunities that we can have where we can actually have a Christian conversation where I can share God's word and not be thrown in jail. Right? Sometimes when we're talking about open doors, it's literally maybe that someone would open the door in their house so that I can come in and speak to them in a safe environment about the gospel. And other times it's simply, look, we need opportunities in conversations. Open doors, open hearts that are prepared to hear the word. Number one, the first thing that we can pray for our missionaries all the time is pray for opportunities to share the word of God. The second thing comes from verse 4, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. I mean, this is Paul, for goodness sake. This is Paul, who seems to be one of the great speakers of all time. Right, he goes into places and he has these incredible, beautiful sermons. I reread his letters, and a couple of his letters are just works of art. They're completely obnoxious in the Greek because he'll have entire paragraphs that are a single sentence. It's incredibly obnoxious at times, but you find his flow of arguments and things. He's an incredible thinker and speaker and communicator. And Paul himself is saying, please pray for me that when these open doors for the word come, pray that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. So the second thing that we can always pray for our missionaries at all times is just pray for clarity of speech and communication. Pray for clarity of speech and communication, that they would be clear when they share the gospel. They would be clear as they speak and tell people about the love of Jesus. They'd be clear about what they're doing and the God they serve and what he's done in their lives. But Paul himself is saying, hey, sometimes I get a little tongue-tied, you know, I get some butterflies when I'm sharing the gospel with somebody new, and I could just use some prayer that I would make the gospel, make the word of God clear when I speak. Paul says, pray for us. Pray first for opportunities to share the word of God. Second, pray for clarity of speech and communication. Turn ahead a couple books to 2 Thessalonians. chapter 3. Surprise, surprise, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is the final chapter of this book. Again, nearing the end, Paul is once again going to ask for prayer. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us, right? Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Here we get the third and fourth things that we can always be praying for our missionaries. The third one is interesting because it's kind of like one and two. The third one comes from this idea of pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. Third thing that we can pray for missionaries is that the word of the Lord may advance. And while this is tied to opportunities to share the word, and it's tied to clarity of speech, when we talk about the word of the Lord advancing and speeding ahead, it's that people will actually accept it. Right? For the word of the Lord to actually advance, it'll speed ahead, that it will move forward. It's not simply that we have the opportunities. It's not simply that we speak clearly, but now that people might actually hear and accept God's word, and that then they will share it. Right? How does the word of the Lord advance? It doesn't advance when I tell somebody and it stops there. It advances when I tell somebody and they hear it and they accept it and they take it and they pass it on. You know, I think of the video that we watched, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, of Tony and the So People, and how he talks about going into these completely unreached places, but that their goal is that, and the things that they've seen, is that there are actually churches that are finally being planted among the So People where there were none before. Right? This is a way that the word of the Lord advances, where a missionary is able to go in and to plant a church, to bring somebody to Christ, and then a church happens there, and now the word of the Lord is advancing even further than what the missionary himself or herself was doing. And this is what we desire, right, is to see that the word of God advances. So the third thing that you can pray for every missionary is that the word of the Lord may advance, that while it starts from them, that the people they speak to might hear it and accept it and pass it on, and that then it will grow and advance among the people that they are sent to. Number one, pray for opportunities to share the word of God. Number two, pray for clarity of speech. Number three, pray that the word of God might advance and move forward. And number four comes from verse 2 here in 2 Thessalonians 3, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Pray for safety and deliverance from evil people. And the fourth thing that we should pray for is that many of our missionaries simply need protection. I know that this is a common thing to pray for those who are in, you know, situations that they can't even tell us about. Right? You think about Tony and the stories that he was telling in the video 2 weeks ago, and how they're blurring out faces because it's not a Christian-friendly nation. Right? You got to pray for the safety, that they'll be delivered from wicked and evil men, because the opposition is coming. It's coming because there is a spiritual battle going on, and when missionaries step out and they're sharing God's word and they're praying that it might advance, Satan's not going to like it, and he's going to push back, and he's going to use people as his tool. So we must pray for safety and deliverance from evil and wicked people, because it's hard for our missionaries to continue preaching when they're in jail. They have a much more limited number of people they get to evangelize to. All they get is the jailers and the fellow people in prison. And so pray for safety and deliverance for our missionaries. Number five, turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Surprise, surprise, last chapter in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, once again, as Paul is winding down his letter, he will ask again for prayer. And the fifth and final thing that we can pray for every one of our missionaries is this, in Ephesians 6, verse 19. In verse 18, he talks about praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So look, pray for everybody, right? But pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And the fifth and final thing that we need to pray for every one of our missionaries is that they may be bold in sharing the gospel. Pray for boldness. Right? You say, well, they're missionaries. I mean, it's just what they do. Even missionaries need some courage and boldness in the mission field. I don't think that just because they're a missionary, it means that every time they have an opportunity for sharing the gospel, it just comes easily and there's no fear. And that they take every opportunity that ever, you know, looks at them. No, we got to pray even for Paul. Even Paul says, look, pray for me that when I see those doors, that when the word of the Lord comes to me and I need to speak it to someone, pray that I might be bold in doing so. And these are five things that we can pray for every one of our missionaries. And why should we pray? Because if you have a heart for missions, it should lead you to prayer. It's an incredible thing. It really is an incredible thing that even though I am standing here on this stage, that I can participate in missions that are happening around the world simply by being on my knees in prayer. Right? That even though I cannot tomorrow walk into the village with Tony and May and spread the news to the So people, that I can struggle together with them, that I can help them, that I can be a part of the work that they're doing simply by praying. Because the work that our missionaries do is a spiritual work. Even if they're meeting physical needs, it is a spiritual work. And so we can work together with them spiritually by praying for our missionaries. So here's what I'm going to encourage you to do, right? In order to be involved in this missions work, I would love for you to pray for them 7 days a week. But I know, practically speaking, for myself, that what I'm doing is I have a prayer list of different things that I pray for each day of the week. And that those that are seven missionaries that Grace supports are going to be on that list. And even in times when I don't know what to pray for, when I don't know the exact need that they're meeting or the exact trial that they're facing, that at all times we can pray for these five things. And we can pray first that they will have opportunities, open doors for speaking the word. Second, that they'll speak with clarity, that they will have clear communication as they spread the gospel, as they talk about who they are and what God has done for them and who God is and what God will do for the people that they're speaking to. Third, that we can pray that the word of the Lord then may advance, that people will accept it, that they'll hear it, that they'll embrace it, and that they'll spread it. Fourth, that we can pray for the safety of our missionaries, because some of them are walking into situations that can be dangerous. And we know that they're called to it. We know that God will protect them. But we got to pray for that safety. Sometimes missionaries don't last the night. Right? These are chances that they're willing to take, that they're saying, God, out of obedience to you, we'll go. And we should be praying for their safety and for their deliverance because we want the gospel to advance. And then fifth and finally, we must pray for boldness. Pray for boldness that when our missionaries get the opportunities, that they'll take them. One thing that we're doing in this series as we talk about having a heart for missions is it's really hard to have a heart for missions if you don't even know what's going on with our missionaries. And so one step that we're taking, one of our goals in this series, is just to give you some updates, to give our missionaries some time to tell you what they're doing, what their work is, and how it's been going. And so 2 weeks ago, we heard from Deb Jorgensen and her work with Young Lives, and we saw the video of Tony and what he's doing with the So people and his prayer walks through the village and the amazing travels that he has to do just to get there. So this morning we're going to continue with our updates. We're going to talk with Candy and with Brooke. One of the beautiful things about grace, and one of the rare opportunities that we have, is having four of our seven missionaries here with us now, in this room, presently, currently. And so it's cool because it's a lot easier to be involved in their work because we see them and you can talk to them on a regular basis. So it's cool that we've gotten to spend this time with Candy as she's in town. So we'll hear from her. But before we do that, as we do that, as she comes up, we're going to play a little slideshow, just a couple minute slideshow that tells you a little bit about TEAM, the missions organization that Candy is with. So she comes up, check out this video.